Well, I thought last week was pretty cool. If you didn't see it, Caleb did a great interview with Annie and Craig. And if you didn't see it, make sure you go to our website or our YouTube channel and watch it. But they talked about how we celebrate Jesus with song. You know, that's a place that you speak it out. It could probably be expanded in its place of declaration and worship. It can be song and speaking gifts to God, right? The celebrating gift with Jesus with song. And today I'm going to be talking about celebrating Jesus with gifts. Now, I bet you know what I'm going to use as an example right around Christmas. There's these guys called the Wise Guys, right? And they came a long way from a distant land to see this king, and they bowed down before him. And they brought him gifts. And so we want to talk about how do we do that? How do we celebrate? How do we worship God? How do we love God with gifts? So think about a gift that you've had that's been amazing. Think about that. If you haven't, we'll pray for you. But maybe you've had some gift that's been amazing. Something someone's done, something giving to you, a gift, it's been amazing. What makes it amazing? Right? Is it the amount? Is it the size? Does it meet a particular need? What is it that makes a gift amazing? You know what I'm talking about, these kind of gifts? The gifts that even when you think about them, they kind of get to you. You can kind of flash back. It's something that really communicates something deeply to you. Well, an amazing gift is a gift that blesses you. It's a gift that a person gives you that has value, and that valuable gift expresses the love and honors you, and you take that in. And as I think about that, is, you know, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but on TV, it's really popular to give a lot of stuff away. Have you noticed that? Oprah got it started. I don't think anybody hit the mark. I remember I watched Oprah. I don't ever watch Oprah, but I had to watch this. She gave a car away to everyone in the audience. And I just want to tell you today, look under your seat. You've won a car. No, I haven't. But it would be kind of cool if that was the case. I mean, it was like, can you do this? Right? And so everybody's just kind of going crazy, just giving away things. They're realizing, this is fun, this is good TV, right? In fact, recently I had this YouTube guy, and he's walking around to bus stops. And he talked to the person and said, hey, do you have a car? He says, no, I don't have a car. He says, why not? He says, well, can't afford one, taking the bus. Once he figured that out, once he found out they had a car and they had a license, he handed him a key and said, here's a car, and just gave away cars. Now, it's interesting, because that's a pretty good gift, I'd say. But is that an amazing gift? It's not an amazing gift. One guy, actually, he gets, they're filming it, you know, he gets the keys and he goes, thanks. Gets in the car and just takes off. You know, it's like they kept trying to get the crying to going, and he's like, I'm thankful I got a car, but it wasn't amazing because you don't know me. You don't even know what I need, really. And I'm not sure if you're doing this for me or for your YouTube channel. It's a really, there seems to be something here, right? It was a good gift. I'm sure he enjoyed it. It wasn't amazing, though. An amazing gift is something that communicates the love of the person who gives it to you. You know, my mother, she loved photographs. I think I have this DNA in me as well. I just look at photographs. But my mother doesn't have an iPhone. She just has a bunch of albums, and numbers of times I would watch my mother, and she would basically go through and just look at albums. I'd catch her all the time that way. I want to steal Annie's magnet, and Annie doesn't have a magnet. I want to steal Craig's, or whoever this is, magnet. And see, what did Jesus didn't need magnets. I do. All right, so when he taught, he just winged it. So my mother, she actually loved photos so much that we lived in Kansas, and when the sirens would go off in Kansas, she'd take two things to the basement, her children and her photo albums. That's what she did. And so my brother one time decided for Christmas what he's going to do. He was going to create a frame, a large ornate frame, and find a bunch of her pictures of her that she loved looking at and put this in this large frame on the wall. And when we gave it to her, my mom never cries. But when she gave it to her, I found a picture of it actually. You can't tell behind her glasses, but she was choking up. And that's when we knew, wow, God is real. My mom is crying. But she, it wasn't a sad cry. It was a very deep cry, because what was there? It was a spot in which what we were doing is we were showing, Steve was showing her love for who she was, honoring her. She knew it took him a lot of time to build this thing, which now he's embarrassed of because he's a cabinet maker. He thinks he has to hide it now. But my mom, yes, Steve's like cringing right now just looking at it. Yeah. So my brother's in the audience for the people at home, and he's saying that she's crying because how badly the frame was made. But no, it was beautiful, right? And so when we look at this, is that what's interesting, my mom never took it off her wall. In fact, when she moved to St. Louis, 45 years later, those pictures were all faded out, and the first thing she looked at when she got up from her senior living home was that frame, right? And that was because it was an expression of love from someone who knew her, honoring who she was, and she received it. And it had this deep impact on her. Now, when we look at the wise men, we understand that what they did was go a long ways, take a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of the resources just to get before Jesus and say, we honor you, and we love you, and bow down to you. So, let's look at this story that you're very familiar with. Now, this story is interesting because it gets added on to a lot. You know, there's supposedly three kings, but they're not kings. They're astrologers that are respected by kings. They're spirits, they're kind of mystical, and they are consulted. They're very wise, that's correct. There's not three of them. We don't know how many there are. You know, they probably didn't ride camels. They probably rode horses. They probably didn't come from three countries. They probably came from one. They probably came from Arabia. You know, there's lots of things. They didn't go right to the manger. So you can take them out of that manger scene you have. They put them over here by the house because it was after Jesus was born, maybe months or even years, possibly probably a few months after Jesus was born. He was in a house. So that's all fine to try to sort that through. But the story has this, the central part of the story is this, is that these men traveled to find Jesus to give him gifts at great effort and great cost. And what I think about when I read the story is I want to be one of those wise men. I want to do this. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How do we give gifts to Jesus? So let's turn to Matthew 2, 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked, "Where will this Messiah be born? In Bethlehem in Judea." They replied, "For this is what the prophet has written," and they quote out of Micah, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." So here we have this thing where the star appears. Now, we don't know what this really means exactly because they're a long ways away. Likely it got them to a spot of something uniquely a star in the sky they had not seen. And in that process, God revealed to them there was a Jewish king. And so that's probably what got them to Jerusalem. But now they're trying to figure out, where do we go from here? You know, there's this caravan. We don't know how many people who arrive. And then they ask, and they mention to Herod, and the Jews listen to this well, Herod from Rome, and they're all upset about it because Herod, because he doesn't want to lose power, and the Jews, because what's this Messiah? What's going on here? I haven't heard about this. And then it disturbed them all, so they have this kind of place where they gather them together and say, where is he supposed to be born? And they look in Micah, and they said he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. It continues on. It says, Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. As soon as I find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose again, it went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. So here we have Herod, who gets a secret meeting and basically to find out the timing. So again, eventually he could actually try to murder Jesus in that area, finding the timing of when this was this took place. And then after that, we see he goes on to say that they bring these three gifts. And if you can imagine what this felt like, just put yourself in this position. You get to the house, you know, that feeling of getting to a house, like, there's a star, I think this is obvious, this is it. Think about going in, and then seeing Mary holding Jesus. Imagine what this would feel like, dropping, bowing down, and then getting those gifts, and then handing them out, saying, we worship you, Jesus. Now, if you think about that, what that would have been like, and how that would have felt. And these gifts they gave were prophetic. Gold represents kingship. Frankincense is a symbol of divinity. And myrrh is what would be an embalming oil representing death. And it's just the perfect gift for who Jesus was, for a king. Now, here's a question. And this sounds obvious. Can we bring a gift to Jesus that is amazing? I mean, who is God? Can we do that? Can we affect Jesus in a way that's what we understand when we receive a gift of love from somebody? And I say yes, but it is kind of complicated, you know? Think about this. What kind of gift do you give to Jesus when everything on the earth is his? The psalmist says that all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it, kind of sums it up. You know, in John 3, it also says that through him all things were made, speaking of Jesus, and without him nothing was made that has been made. Psalms says the earth is full of his possessions. Here's what it's like. He not only owns everything, he actually made everything. It's like, hey, I think I'm going to give Jesus some gold. He says, yeah, I made that. I think I'll give Jesus a solar system. Yeah, I made that. And I possess it too. So how do we give gifts to someone who owns everything and actually created everything? It's because the gift is attached to our heart. It's in a reflection of us. It's an expression of our love, which blesses and glorifies God, which brings joy to his heart, right? His child, the person who comes to him and attaches the things he gives them to their heart. You know, as we look at this, as we think about these things that, I thought about this and I thought, you know, is there other scriptures that talk about giving a gift to Jesus and it's like thumbs up, let's do that? And I think, yeah, there's a lot actually, you know. And one of it is like, you know, this is a starter. But you think about other things that Jesus points out in Scripture, like when the woman came to him and what bowed down to him and poured this ridiculous amount of expensive perfume, and he was moved by that. Or when he was in the temple, remember he's in the temple, and this widow who had nothing gives a few coins, and he's moved by that. And as I thought about that, I thought, wow, the reason these stories are in the Bible is because they had such an impact on Jesus, right? It's the same reason my mom held on to that gift that Steve gave her, right? It reminded her. It was something that was meaningful and had impact, right? So, how do we do this? How do we, you know... Well, the thing is, what's good about this, it's not about the amount, right? In other words, it doesn't matter if you're educated or not educated, if you're a rich magi or if you're a very poor widow, you can bring an amazing gift to God. And it will impact him in a deep level. You can go to Jesus and you can say, and give him gifts. So, a couple things I thought about in this. The gift that God's looking for, I think, is best described in Romans 12. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which are your true and proper worship. I love this because what it's talking about, it's saying that this is the gift that God, that we're giving to God, is ourselves. This is where the impact comes, is when we give of ourselves, where we take something that's costly to us and give it to him because it's connected to us and it's an expression of our love. You see, the Pharisees had a real hard time with this. They were giving sacrificially all the time, their energy, and their money. And yet Jesus says, you're not, it doesn't affect me at all. In fact, I'm saddened by who you are. It's like, what? Look at the sacrifice. But we look at somebody who has a sacrifice attached to a place of reasoning for the sake of giving it to that person because of expression of love and honor. It's a whole different thing. And so as we look at this, we have to understand a couple things. First off, it's the way a good gift, a great gift happens for us to give to Jesus is it's connected to us and given to him by our own choice. It's taking the very things he's given us and giving them back to him for him. Now, the Magi, you think about what they did. You understand, the gift was not just in the three items. The gift was they spent about a month on the road, a lot of time and energy to get there for just the choice of worshiping and honoring Jesus, right? The gift was attached to that, to who they were. Now, when we give gifts, you know, you guys can figure that out, how you give to other people. You figure out, get in the mail, get in the tree, hand it to you at church, you know, let Amazon give the gift, right? Whatever you want to do, right? How do you give this gift to Jesus now? And this is helpful. We can give gifts to Jesus directly, just in our time with him, all right? What is valuable to you? Who are you? Well, who this person is it's talking about in Romans, it's not saying, you know, throw yourself on the altar and kill yourself for a sacrifice. It's saying, bring your whole self to me, all that you are, that's what I'm looking for. And our self is made up of our time and our energy, our money, which can be our resources as well. And so, what we have to understand is when we go to God, we're bringing him something that's costly to us, our time, our energy, and our money.
And understanding that even in a spot of, let's say, for instance, you have your morning devotion, sometimes the way we only think of that is, I got to get with God or I'm not going to make it to the day, right? Which is a really good motivation to get with God. I got to hear God because I'm not doing well. I got to hear God because that. But do we have to understand that a devotion is that you're taking time that you could have put somewhere else and energy, and you're saying, I am giving this time to you. I'm going to be in your presence. That is an amazing gift to Jesus. It's that spot where you're driving to your work, if you ever do that anymore. Do we ever drive to work? You're driving somewhere that you are, you're just bored and driving around, and instead of just listening to radio or whatever, you shut it off and you devote that time to just be in God's presence and tell him how much you love him, right? You decide to turn off Netflix for that hour or three, and you go for a walk. You see what's happening there? If you're doing that from your heart, it's something that costs you, and you're doing it not out of obligation, not out of guilt or justification. You're doing it because you want to show your love to God, to Jesus. And so we give to Jesus both this way directly in things that we do in secret. Maybe we have something we own and we give it away secretly. We give money or something we have to, something that would honor Jesus just because we used to do that. Make sure no one, and that's just this direct way, right? But we also, we give by giving to others as well. And so, and the thing about this is, before we can get to that, is that this can be, when we think of this, this can be not just a one or two times a year. This can be every day. This can be throughout your day, you can be thinking, how could I bring gifts to God in my, the way I'm doing things. And it talks in this place of, you know, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. It's a spot of saying, how can I make the way I prepare dinner and clean up dinner and put the kids down or whatever the things are, your routines, take out the trash, clean the toilet, how can I take that time and use it in a way that would bring glory to God, right? And it can happen in the way that you think of your whole day. It can be in very small things and very big things. But it also is this spot that we do it as we give gifts to Jesus by giving gifts to others and loving other people. We see all the way through Scripture, from the greatest commandment, you know, to love God and love others, to how do you love me? You love me by loving others. John says all the time the two are just interchangeable almost. When he talks to Peter after his resurrection, he says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. That's how you show you love me, by caring for the people around you. And as you look at this place where we see at the end of, when we're all called into account, it says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of these, the least, those people who are in prison, those people who are sick, those people who are in need, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Right? There's this way in which that we are called to love God and give him gifts by loving the people around us and giving them the things that God has given us. Now, giving back the things that he's given us. There's this thing of a principle of the kingdom, is the way we do well is we just keep giving back all that's been given to us, to God and to others. And God provides for us, and God is blessed, and we find our right spot. Now, this one verse I think is really helpful. This is probably one of the best instructive verses on choosing what you give and how you do that, because it allows you to understand what God's looking for in the gift through this verse. It says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay? So what you're looking for is, what is it that you can give cheerfully? Because you're choosing to do it. Not because you're trying to appease your guilt. Not because you are doing it reluctantly because you feel forced into it. Not to justify yourself. Not to have other people see you, which is a huge one. None of that. You're choosing to say, what can I give cheerfully to God? You know, in Ephesians it says, serve wholeheartedly as if serving the Lord, not people. In other words, we're serving people, but we have to understand God is our primary audience in all that we do. That's what we do unto is God in everything that we do. And so as we look at this, is that a couple things I'd just say is that this is something that when you have to do a gift, you have to consider, what should I get that person? You guys had gone through this already? And sometimes it's complicated. Like, what do I get this person? You think about the person. You think about what they desire, what would bless them. It takes a little bit of work. There's nothing wrong with doing that with Jesus. It's to come to a spot where you think, consider what you can give. And again, you're thinking time, energy, and money. And I would say, be creative, be imaginative. And think of this also, it can be something really big, like way over the top, like traveling someplace for a full month just to do something God's asked you to do. It can be that, or it can be something that looks very small. It can be both. So think small and large, be imaginative, invite the Holy Spirit to help you through it, and be creative. And then decide in your heart what you want to do. For the right reasons. I just want to do this, and I can cheerfully do that. And then whatever you do it wholeheartedly to the glory of God. And God will show you things you can do. So, the worship team can come back up. I'm going to give you an invitation that I think will be helpful. Is what I want us to be, take away from this is, I want us to be thinking about this crazy truth that you and I, by the choices of our heart, can impact Jesus with the gifts that we give him. That's pretty wild. It can affect him deeply. And so, what I would encourage you to do on the invitation is, first off, for yourself, just have daily devotions. Maybe you don't have daily devotions. Start them at least, you know, it's Christmas. Start them for this week at least. Do some daily devotions. In the morning, maybe. It can be in the evening, too. Morning usually works a little better because you have the day in front of you, but you can do it either place. And spend some time on reflecting on all that Jesus has given you. Just spend time thinking of the gifts that Jesus gave you. Just the gift of him coming and living and dying on the cross for you. Just think on those things. Maybe write things down in your journal. Take it in and receive the good gifts that God has for you. And then, in that time, ask the Holy Spirit to help you come up with gifts that you can give to Jesus that day. Okay? I found that it's important to be very specific. Say, that day, small and large, what can I do here? Using your time, energy, and money. And money, when I say that, it could be the things you own, or it could be finances or whatever. But say, okay. And then, as you have those unctions, whether large or small, you write them down and you awkwardly do them, even if you're pushing against it, because you're going to give that gift. And you're doing it not to those people. You're not doing it to be justified. You're not doing it to appease gift. You're doing it because you want to bring blessing to Jesus.